As a young professional, do you ever feel depressed about money and your net wealth? Well, through Fitbucks, I've worked with thousands of individuals managing over $2 billion in debt. And this is what I oftentimes hear from a young professional. Okay. I put in all this work, I go to college, and I graduate. And I look at my finances, and I have $1,000 in debt. And so this website is telling me that my net wealth is negative $100,000. That sucks. And I agree, that's very depressing. But I got good news for you. Your net wealth isn't negative. In fact, your net wealth is most likely worth a couple hundred thousand dollars, if not $1 million. Why? You have this asset called human capital. And human capital is actually the most important asset for young individuals. Now, once you understand what human capital is, a whole new world of generating wealth is open to you. And managing your money will get way simpler. Now, today, I'm going to share with you what human capital is, why it's important, and you're going to want to stay till the end because I'm going to show you how you can use this concept to maximize your wealth, more specifically, how you potentially increase your income. And now, before we get started, if you're new to the channel, welcome. If you're listening on the podcast, welcome as well. I'm Joseph Franke. I'm the founder of Fitbucks. This channel is all about financial wellness, financial freedom, all for young professionals between the ages of 20 and 40 years old. And when we discuss things like financial freedom, we talk about two types of financial freedom: tangible financial freedom, which is dollars and cents, and intangible financial freedom, which is how we think about money. And the ultimate truth is you can't have tangible financial freedom, that is, you can't have dollars and cents, if you don't already have intangible financial freedom, meaning you need to think about money correctly. Now, in this video, we're going to be focusing on intangible financial freedom. Now, if you want to know more about financial freedom and wellness, be sure to subscribe to the channel and hit that notification bell. We're going to be putting out new content each week to help you. Plus, when you subscribe, it helps the channel grow so we can hit more people. So it's a win-win for everybody. And for that, I thank you. Okay, now back to human capital. We're going to start off by defining what this thing, this magical thing called human capital, what is it? Okay, well, I'm going to give you the dictionary definition. I apologize in advance. It's a little boring. Okay, but here's the definition from the dictionary: the stock of knowledge, habits, social and personality attributes, including creativity, embodied in the ability to perform labor so as to produce economic value. Like I said, that was a really boring definition. Doesn't sound too exciting, but let me reword that for you. It's a combination of your future income and the risk to that income. And the cool part is everything you've ever done, your education, your life experiences, skills you've developed, factor into that future income and the risk. And when it comes to the money, human capital dictates everything we do, such as how we pay back student loans, types of insurances we use, how to invest, and most importantly, how to generate wealth over time. So let's look at an example or an analogy to better understand how much you're actually worth right now, which, by the way, like I said earlier, it's actually a lot. Okay. Now, I want you to think in this analogy, I'm going to use a technology business. Let's just say Facebook. Okay. They don't own any physical assets. Okay. So they don't own a building, they don't own widgets or anything like that. Their value is an intangible asset. It's their code base, it's their technology, their copyrights, their patents. They develop these assets, and then over time, they receive income for them. You are the same way as a young professional. You might not have a home that's worth a ton of money, investment properties, commercial properties, stocks, and all that type of stuff. Those are hard physical assets. You probably don't have that. But you have a wealth of experiences, education, things like running marathons, playing sports, learning multiple languages. For example, the more languages you speak, the more people you can communicate with. Therefore, the more valuable you are to a business. And because you're more valuable to a business, you can demand higher income. And you also have less risk of being terminated, because if that business needs somebody that's fluent in two languages, not very many people are going to be able to replace you. So low risk of losing your job. Now, over time, you realize the value of your human capital in the form of income. Okay, so Now we know that what human capital is, it's basically an intangible asset for you, the individual. How does this concept of human capital help manage wealth? Well, I'm going to show you one example with debt. Okay. Now, this is a FitBucks member. Let's just say they went to a typical website or downloaded one of these typical financial apps. Okay. That just basically you put your data in and they just show it back to you. Those apps would say something like, well, he only has $33,000 in assets, which for a young professional that has graduated, let's just say, and this person, this specific member, graduated about 3 years ago. Having $33,000 in assets already is pretty good. But they also have $153,000 in debt. So on those traditional websites, they would say, you have a net wealth of negative $120,000. That sucks. Like if I'm this member and I'm on this other site, I would be pretty depressed. But in reality, you can see here that on FitBucks, we're calculating his human capital being worth $1.18 million. So he actually has a net worth over $1 million. Now think about that. When you graduate from college, that's pretty depressing if you had somebody tell you, hey, your worth is negative versus, hey, your worth is $1 million. You'd be like, holy shit, like I got a chance in this. And again, I've told you guys, a lot of this stuff is mentally how we identify ourselves. Do I identify as being poor? Do I identify as being wealthy? Well, if you identify as being poor, which is negative net wealth, right? And then all of a sudden you see that negative net wealth, you're gonna keep getting that negative, negative, negative the rest of your life. But you graduate, you're like, man, I feel great. I have all this potential, and my net wealth is being shown to me as $1 million. Like, that means that your identity is gonna keep showing that, and you're gonna keep that pace, and you're gonna keep going, and good things will happen. Okay, now, if you guys don't know what I'm talking about with the whole identity thing, be sure to check out that video on becoming your forming your identity. That's one of our mindset videos. So I'll make sure I put a link in that too. Okay. Now back to the topic. Over time, this specific FitBucks member, that $1 million in value, they'll realize that in the form of income. However, this person may not want to wait for the next 20, 30 years to start realizing that. So therefore, they could take a loan. Let's just say they take a loan at $300,000. Okay. In short, you have a choice. You can realize your human capital over time in the form of income, or you can take it out today in the form of debt. The more debt you take, the more risk your financial plan has. Okay? So if I borrow over the current value of my human capital, I'm screwed. I'm not going to be able to ever pay that back. So by understanding this concept of human capital and debt, you could change how you start thinking about debt. So for example, if you're sitting there saying, look, like I have in this case, in this person's example, they have $1.1 million in human capital. Hey, like if I take out a $500,000 in a mortgage, is that going to be really bad? Well, that's about half my human capital. That's not too bad. That's okay. That's good. Okay, maybe you have student loan debt. Like this person has $153,000 in student loan debt. A lot of people would be like, oh shit, by the way, this person's income is about $80,000. So a lot of people will be like, holy crap, 153 grand. That's a whole horrible, ratio and blah, 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 blah. But it's like, it's a little bit over 10% of the human capital that this person has created for themselves. Is it really that bad? And especially if you go onto a loan IDR plan, is it really that bad? So you can see how when you start to look at this concept of human capital and understanding what it is, how it can free you up mentally from thinking you're in a really, really bad situation. Okay. Now, with that being said, I'm going to go into a very important point that you need to know because it will allow you to use this understanding of human capital to either generate wealth or destroy it. Okay. Now, before I do, if you're still watching this video and you're liking the video so far, please hit that like button. It helps the channel grow. And again, it's greatly appreciated. But I'll throw that in there real quick for you guys. Okay. So, a few minutes ago, I gave you an example of Facebook, okay, and how they have intangible assets because they build code, technology, so on and so forth. What would happen if Facebook just stopped doing all that? Their code, their tech, all of it would eventually be obsolete and they go bankrupt. The same thing happens with people, and this is a very important concept of human capital. We get to a stage in our lives where we just stop learning. And for most people, that is after they graduate from high school or college. So even though we've built up this human capital value, it can greatly diminish over time. And we see this constantly with people between the ages of 45 and 60 years old. And because of where we're at with technology nowadays and how fast things are being built, we're actually starting to see people's human capital really diminish around the age of 30 and 35 potentially, because they haven't continued to learn. They don't know anything about new technology, new platforms like social media platforms. They've never been taught anything about emotional intelligence. No, nothing on behavior, nothing on leadership training. They've never learned any of it. And they don't have any of this, but they want to be a manager of people that are younger than them. So, like, for example, if you've never gone through, like, leadership training, for example, why do you think you're going to be a manager? What good business would hire you, right? Well, that would be the logical next step, right? Go from entry-level to manager, but you don't have the skills. So you're going to get leapfrogged. That's because people stop learning, okay? You have to continue to learn so that way you can continue to realize that human capital value and increase it. So how do you do this? There's a number of small ways, learning languages, the leadership training that I told you about, but there's two high level ways we look at this. Okay. One is vertical growth. One is horizontal growth. I'm going to talk about vertical growth first. It's in my opinion, the best because it can allow you to make the most income, but it's also the most risky. Okay. And going vertical means this: you become more specialized. So let's think about this. If you compare somebody that goes to high school, like the average income, versus somebody that has, say, a business degree, a BS in business, okay? The BS in business is going to have a higher income, all else equal, than the average high school person. Why? Because more people graduated high school than have a business degree. So that business degree is more specialized. And the same thing goes, let's just say they keep going, they get an MBA. That MBA, those people are more specialized than those that went to get a business degree or just have a high school degree. Therefore, their pay goes up each step of the way. This is actually one of the things that happened when, like, I became a CFA charter holder, right? The income in the financial services world goes up and up and up. And like the CFA, there's only about 100 to 150,000 of us. It's very specialized. So therefore, we get paid a lot more than someone that has a finance degree, and that's it. Okay, I see this in other professions as well. I just spoke to a PT literally this morning, and I want to throw this in here because it's a good example. Okay, the first 5 years out of school, they focused 100% on being the best PT. Their goal was to become a top 10% PT. That was their worry, not mine. I don't know how you measure top 10%. I think he was doing it based on income. I'm not 100% sure. But what he started doing was learning everything. And I'm not just talking about the treatment, like PT treating patients, because he was learning that too, but understanding the industry and the business, from private practice to cash play to insurance, how everything works in the entire industry. And he became so valuable to his company that 5 years after graduation, he's making $170,000 a year in salary. Now, when you compare that to his peers that are 5 years out of school, they're making about 80 to 100 grand a year, depending on where they live at. And I have to emphasize, this is in salary, because most PTs making that much money, 170 grand a year, that are only 5 years out of school, they're self-employed, or they have side hustles, or they do things like cash pay or travel or some type of combination of stuff, or working like double like jobs. He doesn't do any of that. He's 100% W-2'd, and he works 40 hours a week. Now, I put that in air quotes, 40 hours a week, because that's what he works for his business. But he spends like another 20 or 30 hours a week learning stuff about the industry. Okay. Now, let's break down why others might only be making like 82 grand or 85 grand. Why? They're replaceable. Now, they're not replaceable with outsiders, right? So, like, I can't have a degree in kinesiology and be like, I'm going to go and be a PT tomorrow, hire me, right? I have to be a DPT in order to get that job. So PTs are specialized, so their income would be higher than that of somebody who would say just a kinesiology degree, and they're like a trainer at a gym. Okay. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. I just want to make sure that I point that out. You may be perfectly happy, but you need to understand this so you don't get pissed that you aren't making more, and you may benefit from actually the second type of growth. Okay. But you need to understand that you're not making that money that the individual that I just told you about is, because you are replaceable. And like, for example, in PTs, again, people are graduating left and right. They can replace you within the industry, okay? Because that knowledge has not been continued to be specialized. So that's vertical growth, more and more and more specialty. The other one is horizontal human capital growth. Now, this is starting to know other industries. So maybe, again, I'll go back to my example as a PT. Maybe you start learning marketing, design, coding, whatever it may be. You continue to focus on skills outside of your profession that you could potentially monetize inside of your profession or outside. Maybe you just want to do a side hustle and great, you just want to have fun doing it. Okay. Now, when you compare those vertical growth versus horizontal growth, vertical growth has more risk, but it has a higher return. And it has more risk because if your industry happens to become obsolete, a lot of those skills that you obtained don't produce income anymore. Okay, so I'm gonna go to an absolute extreme, and I'll stick on the theme of physical therapists. Let's just say AI takes over. I'm not saying that it is or it's not. Let's just say it does. And 90% of outpatient jobs are now AI robots doing. Yeah. What else are you gonna do with your DPT degree, right? You become focused on that. So you can produce more income relative to other people, but you may become obsolete faster. So if you're going to go vertical, you have to become an expert and then start going horizontal. And again, I'll use myself an example of this. When I started learning finance stuff, I said, I am going to learn everything about everything about everything that I can in the world of finance. I want to be that top 1% in the world when it comes to finance and personal financial services. Once I did that, then I started going out horizontal into like marketing and psychology and all that type of stuff. Okay, and that's what led to the creation of FitBlocks. All right. Now, horizontal growth. Because if your profession becomes obsolete, you have other skills you potentially take advantage of. That's why there's less risk. Okay. Now, if you made it this far into this video, it means you really, really like this stuff, and hats off to you. Like, I love it. Okay. Therefore, be sure to check out this playlist for more videos on financial mindset, and we'll see you on those videos.